Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
You're sitting at a school desk. This seems really completely appropriate.
It was in here, the studio.
It's quiz time for, for you.
It's like Stump the Chump, Stump the Pastor.
It's your weekly pop quiz, and it is open book, though.
That's good.
Right?
I'm so grateful, yes. Yeah, we come in here, and you just gave me the question like 3 minutes
that's
ago.
That's right.
So if it's a harebrained answer, you know, have mercy.
You've had a little bit of time in your life to work up these answers. So this is, folks, really, there's an illustration here that we need to stay in the Word because you never know when you might have to give a reason for the hope that is within you, right? Well, this is a really important question, I think, and here it is. It says, I'm grateful for the recent release from prison of Andrew Brunson. I must say that deep in my heart, I've struggled to believe that he would ever be released. The reason for that reveals something about the state of my faith. And I have for some time been in a place where I tend to doubt that God is moving in the world today. I believe in him, and that in the end he will redeem everything, but for now, he will not intervene. Can you speak to me from the scriptures about this?
That's a great question. And I think so many of us, we're all there, and some of us just live there for long, long seasons. And that place of doubt, because we don't see, you know, miracles happening left and right. Life's very ordinary. You know, one of the things about Scripture is, and you just look at the life of Jesus, he entered the ordinary. I mean, he went into people's homes, he ate meals. Of course, things happened when Jesus was around. And I think that's our struggle, too, that, you know, how come things aren't happening? You know, I thought Jesus was still with us, and he is. But so much of life is ordinary. And the way that God works is so often in our lives, not in the immediate moment where some miraculous thing happens, but God's like a farmer, and you know so many farm images in the scripture of planting, you know, trees and crops, or even you know being a sheep herder, or you work with cattle, you work with plants in the field, and things don't happen overnight. And I think that's got to be a perspective on our faith, that the workings of God are ongoing, but they come into the ordinary places, and God is working. But sometimes we don't see it in the moment. We only see it perhaps even years later. So, you know, here's Paul, the great apostle in the New Testament, preaching the gospel all over the world, and he's thrown in prison, and he's rotting away in a prison in Israel, Jerusalem, and Caesarea, and he's 2 years there, and God, where are you? You know, this man could be doing so much for the kingdom, for the name of Jesus, if you just get him out of there, turn him loose. And then he's, you know, in prison in Rome. And, you know, he seems like he's imprisoned in a lot of places. But through Paul's imprisonment, you know, that seems so bad. And where is God? Seems like God's abandoned him. But what happens? Well, we get half the New Testament. That's what happens. God was at work to, you know, seclude this man in order to benefit not just the Christians of that day, but the Christians of our day, too, and ongoing. We can think of, you know, other things that God may be doing even in our afflictions. We were looking at Psalm 119 this last Sunday, and nobody loves affliction. Nobody. And I don't think we ask God, you know, afflict me. But God will allow affliction and suffering in our life. And, you know, even it was in the life of our psalmist here in Psalm 119. And he says in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. but now I keep your word. In the verse 71, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. So sometimes God, we might sometimes call this the dark night of the soul, where God seems to withdraw himself, and all we know is hardship and affliction, and where is the Lord in this? Well, he is there, and he's even using that silence, that affliction for our good to perhaps break our hearts, to shape our hearts, to draw our hearts. And so God is working. He's never portrayed in the scriptures as way off up in the grandstands, the nosebleed section, while we're down on the field, struggling on our own. He's always available to us on the field. Indeed, he's on the field working his purposes out. I think, this question is so good because it raises the issue of doubt. And I guess I want to ask the question, on what side of doubt are you working out your doubts? What I mean by that is you can work out your doubts standing far away from God, as it were, where is God? Why don't you do something, God? And we have these questions and concerns, and we don't see God working, and it becomes an argument perhaps for God's involvement, that he doesn't love us, that he's not going to do anything, or, he'll do something in the end, but, I can't count on anything, and I'm on my own. So we can work out our doubts distant from God, or we can work out our doubts near to God. God, I know you exist, and I know you are good. And there's a doubt that can lock itself into the character of God. As God has revealed in the scriptures, he is loving, he is faithful, he is good. He is working out his purposes for his glory and for our good. Those tremendous scriptures, Romans 8:28 and Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So we can, from that side, with these precious promises and gazing at the character of God, say, Lord, I don't understand. I know you are good. Show me it in this. And live with an expectation that God's going to provide for me. And I think that's the real walk of faith, even when we're doubting. Which side of doubt are we on? I feel for, and I've been there, probably you have too, and where we've been on that distant side of doubt, where God seems so far away, and that's the frame of mind we take, that God is not with me, and we're trying to figure all these things out. And the scripture invites us to come home, come in, walk by faith, and let our questions arise to God from that place of faith. In a way, I think we're coming up on Advent, and we see that with Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah, the angel appears, you're going to have a baby, and how can this be? I'm an old man, my wife's old as well, and he's on the side of distance from God. He's not walking by faith, even though he's a priest. And so he's struck with silence, struck dumb. Mary asked the very, he said, how can this be? Mary asks the very same question. How can this be since I'm a virgin? She asks it from the other side, the side of faith. God, I know you are able to do all things, but help me figure this out because I don't know how this can be. But I'm looking to you and I trust you. And so she's given the answer, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll conceive in your womb. And then she says, let it be to me, as you've said. She's in that place of asking questions and, doubts of, gosh, how can this be? But I look to you. And from faith, she gets the answer and it's resolved. But even if we continue on with Mary, 9 months, that's a long time, a child growing in her womb, and who is this child? And then growing up, Jesus in the home and then watching him suffer. I mean, all the expectations they had about what Messiah would be seemed to come crashing down, certainly in the cross, and you know, sword shall pierce your own heart, Mary. And so that walk of faith is so critical. But we're invited to take our stand there. Mm-hmm. And so again, with our doubts, still locking into the character of God, confident that in the hardship, the affliction, the setbacks, the evil that seems to win the day, God is at work. And so this walk of faith then is not, it's not a hopeless trudging along. It'll all work out in the end. But I think the walk of faith, really, it's a lively expectation and a confidence in this God who we know in the Scriptures, that He is at work, and even if I perish, God is sovereign, He is good, and He will work this for my good. And I really think we're given permission to take that kind of stand in the worst of it. And, you know, that gives buoyancy to our faith, to, again, to be locked into to what we know of God and His character as the Scriptures reveal it.
You know, I wonder if maybe part of what is a problem for us today is that we live in a time where things happen so quickly, mm-hmm. and change seems to happen very, very quickly. It may just be that nothing's new, but we know about things happening, and just everything is sped up, and that we develop these habits where we just sort of assume that things are all going to happen quickly. But God's timeline is not our timeline. And so, for example, Andrew being in prison 2 years today feels like an eternity. It's a really, really long time.
And they lost significant treasure in their life. You know, wedding, graduations, death of Noreen's dad, couldn't go to the funeral. So there's significant loss there. And, you know, what do you do with that? I think you grieve it. You lament. You know, I'm so grateful for these weeping psalms in the Scriptures. We call them songs of lament, crying out to God, how long? And Lord, where are you? And so, you know, this is nothing new. And this person who asks this question, I mean, you got the heart of the psalmists too. I mean, these are your brothers and sisters, you know, in the faith through the years. But these psalmists, they are your fellow travelers, and they know what it is to be in that place of doubt. And I've said before in other podcasts, what I love about the psalmists, they are bold with God to say, we don't see you working. You're standing around with your hands in your pockets. We're getting clobbered. You're asleep. And that's what it seems like to us. Help us. But in the midst of that, they do it not from the other side of doubt, saying, you know, so prove yourself in the place of hopelessness, but they do it from the place of hope, because so many of these psalms, there's that resolution, and yet we will trust in you. You know, but you are sovereign, and you are loving, and our hope is in you. And so there's that buoyancy, even in the midst of affliction. And I think that's the difference that we can have in that place of doubt, by taking our stand with this God of grace who is with us. It's hard. Yep, it was hard for Jesus too, and that's life. Mm-hmm. But we have God who's overcome the struggle, and a God who's with us in the struggle, and a God who will redeem and heal the struggle. And we cling to that, and that we may know Him in our struggle.
And it sounds like, too, if I understand you, what you're saying is, so we can rejoice right now because Andrew is free and he's home, right? Mm-hmm. We can rejoice in that, but that's not the real story. That's just part of the story. Right. The fact of him being released, what God is really doing here, so much of it plays out over a very long period of time and right. in different ways that we can't immediately see.
I think that is a great word, Kevin. Yeah, I mean, why 2 years in prison? We don't know. but God was doing things. And apparently, who did I hear this from when I visited over there? So this German pastor that I met in Andrew's apartment, he told me the story that somebody in the prison watching Andrew asked for a Bible and now is out of the prison, but and is going to church. Don't know if he's a Christian, but is definitely a seeker. And it comes from observing Andrew and Noreen. When we came into their apartment the night before the trial, there's a group of pastors in there, and there was a pastor from Germany, and he spoke English, and he told me, and I didn't get all the details down, but apparently one of the guards in the prison is now going to church. Well, What was that? That was Andrew's testimony, and this German pastor was just celebrating, look what God's doing here, at least in this one man's life. And we're trusting God for more. Obviously, you talk with Andrew and Noreen, and they're talking about a harvest. They have this sense of from God that there's going to be a great harvest in Turkey. And how is God going to answer that or accomplish that? Well, we've got to pray. Well, there's never been more prayer for Turkey, probably at any other time in history, than right now. Yeah. I mean, we're talking millions, certainly hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians around the world praying for Andrew and Turkey. Yeah. I mean, that's a large stash of prayers, and many of them unanswered because we're also praying, Lord, let the glory of Christ be revealed in Turkey. When and how God's going to do that, we don't know, but I'm absolutely convinced God used Andrew to rally prayer for that nation, and I do think there's going to be a greater work of God. Will we see it in our day? I don't know. I don't know when we'll see it. I hope we do. I hope we see it soon. But I think God is going to work there, and He is. And our part is to keep praying, stay faithful, and in the ordinary, trust Him that He's with us too.
Yeah. Will you pray for us?
I will. Father in heaven, Lord, you are the sovereign of the nations. You are the sovereign, Lord, of our personal history today. And we do thank you for the words of Scripture that remind us that you've begun a good work in us and you will carry it on to completion. Lord, that all things work for our good. As we who love you are seeking you and crying out to you. And Lord, you also call us to faithfulness. And Lord, in the places of doubt today, where anybody may be just filled with doubt and that hopeless doubt, Lord, I just pray that you will encourage them, Lord, to lay hold of the promises of your word. And Lord, also the greatness of your character, your goodness, your faithfulness, your steadfast love. And Lord, may these be the things that, as it were, steal on the ear of your people today. And we hear that, not just that distant triumph song, but Lord, we hear that triumph song today of your love, your presence, your promises, and that would strengthen us, strengthen your people, Lord, in the ordinary, to look to you, to hang on to you. And we ask this for the building up of the church, the preparing of your people for the return of Christ and for his glory. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.